Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here on this April Fool's Day. Friday, April the 1st, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour, and we're going to have a great day here on WWGH Radio. We have a special guest who's going to be calling in here momentarily. And then coming up at 8:40 this morning, we have a guest who you're not going to want to miss, who is going to answer some questions that we had yesterday in regard to a lot of things going on here in Marion. So don't miss that for love nor money. Now, don't forget, we have a new schedule here on Friday on WWGH Radio, the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, with Adam Lepp doing the engineering, now airs at 9:10 a.m. So when I go off this hour, the Pastor Spot will come on at 9:10 a.m. and stay on until 10 a.m., and that is definitely worth listening to. Now, I might be back later on in the morning. We'll work all that out today, and hopefully I will for another hour of programming, but we'll see how that goes. And I'll definitely be on tonight unless some unforeseen circumstances occur. I will definitely be with you tonight with Angie Evers from 8:10 until 10 a.m. Of course, we will discuss where we've come with the NCAA brackets and all other things going on in the news. You know, these local stories about what's been going on with the Marion City Schools and Judge Warner and so on and so forth are certainly of interest. And now as we kick off the morning here on this April Fool's Day, I said we had a special guest, and we certainly do without question. This is a man who has not been on in a while, but he certainly is part of the WWGH family. And I have to tell you, the other day I was watching a show on baseball, because as you know, we're only a few days from the kickoff of the spring season in baseball. And of course, all the baseball historians remember a man named Ted Williams. And to baseball, he was a giant, and he remains a giant, and he's what they call a classic. Well, there came a broadcaster a few years ago with national acclaim with the same name, Ted Williams. And to broadcasting, he is what Ted Williams was to baseball. He is a classic, and I believe has surpassed Ted Williams, the baseball player, in the internet world. He's one of my pals. He is a superb broadcaster. He is into current events. He's into music. He can DJ. He can interview. He can do it all. And this morning, he's going to do it with us. And we're going to have fun doing it. He's got opinions of his own that really are of his own. And that's what makes him interesting. And the best thing in broadcasting is not to be loved or hated, as we all know. It is to be honest and opinionated and truthful. And the audience will always accept you, and they'll always accept him, as I do. My pleasure to announce the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Ted, happy April Fool's Day.
And a happy April Fool's Day to you, Scotty. I love you, man. Listen, here's my Ted Williams story.
Go ahead.
I was doing something for the New England Cable News Network. It's NECN. And they had just seen me do the opening credits for the Today Show. And they wanted me to kind of do some VO work in their morning for their morning show. And I did so. And as lovingly as they've given me a Ted Williams 100% cotton jersey throwback, I couldn't believe it. I was so elated. Those jerseys cost about $400 or $500. I said that to say this. My wife, the lovely Kathleen, my girlfriend, however anybody wants to deem it as common law or not, and I don't think Ohio recognizes common law, but to make a long story short, she washed it one time, Scotty, and it became a halter top.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, you know, and
100% cotton. Bless her heart. We hadn't done laundry in so many years. We didn't have a place to live. We certainly didn't have a washer or a dryer. So, bless her heart, she did the best she could. I scolded her verbally for it.
Well, you know, and speaking of verbal scoldings, we're going to get into that in a second here. But it is interesting, okay. And you've told this this story before, and we don't have to get into it again, but it is fascinating that I've known you for more than a decade now, and I did not know until the last year that you were named for Ted Williams, the baseball player.
Yes, my father was a true fan of Ted Williams. I mean, literally, he didn't even go for Jackie Robinson as much as he did the splendid Splinter, as he was deemed. Yeah, he named me not Theodore, but he named me Ted, and he named me Fred. My uncle's middle name, he gave that to me, and Williams, Ted Williams, yes. And I did play junior high school ball on the baseball team. I'm sorry, junior high school through high school, and I got injured in my leg, and it was something I truly wanted to pursue if there was ever a secondary, MOS, military occupation specialty.
Now, I want to get into these current events when I talk about verbal scoldings here, Ted, because there has been a lot of behavior here in the state of Ohio and on national television that is odd as of late. And I know you have some strong feelings about this. Here's the interesting thing. If you've been living in a cave, and we've been talking about it here on the station, last Sunday at the Academy Awards, which is considered to be the most prestigious award show on television,
absolutely.
And during this prestigious show, Chris Rock made a joke about, from the stage, about Jada Pinkett Smith, the wife of Will Smith, in which he said something, and I'm going to paraphrase, basically that she's ready for G.I. Jane 2 because she doesn't have much hair. Now, the reason she doesn't have much hair is because of a disease called alopecia. Chris Rock says is not aware that had happened. This happens. Will Smith, during a live broadcast, walks on the stage, slaps Chris Rock in the mouth, goes back off the stage, says, "Keep my wife out of your effin' mouth," and doesn't say effin', but we have to on radio, Ted. He says,
yes, absolutely.
He says this twice during the live broadcast. He's not escorted out. He's not approached by security. And an hour later, Will Smith wins the Academy Award for Best Actor in a Motion Picture. Now, here's the apology he released the next day, and then I'm going to turn it over to Ted, and we're going to get his thoughts on this. This is what Will Smith said on, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. This is the quote.
Apology.
Yeah, apology. "Jokes at my expense are a part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line. I was wrong. I was embarrassed, and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. Violence in all forms is poisonous and destructive." He also apologized to the Academy, the producers of the show, and the attendees, and everyone watching all around the world. And he also ended by saying, "I deeply regret that my behavior has stained what has been an otherwise generous journey for all of us. I am a work in progress." Well, that's how that all goes down. And remember, Ted, because I know you have some strong feelings on this, that we're on the radio and we have to use proper language, but let her rip.
Okay, well, you know, first of all, did Chris have any knowledge, foreknowledge, of her debilitating disease, which made her hair come out? Listen, he's a comedian. You got to look at that, you know? And at someone's, of course, expense of their health condition, that's a little overboard. But if Chris, in fact, didn't have no pre-notion, probably.
We're chatting with the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, here about the incident that happened this past Sunday at the Academy Awards with Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith, and Chris Rock.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost the signal, as you do in some areas of Marion, but I want to say that it was very overbearing, and for the Academy to overlook that, because it was an assault, and bottom line, and yes, I guess I would have a little bit of, not enough to go on live television, up to the podium and smack the man. That was a little, something should be done about it. Sidney Poitier, oh, he's dead, but Denzel, he said something to the effect of, you know, very poor choice, you know?
Well, when this happens, when something like this happens, because it had never happened before.
In the history of the Academy Awards.
Never. And this has been going on for nearly a century now. I just couldn't. You know, here's what I'm confused about. And I understand that Will Smith was acting on emotion, and I understand that this is his wife, and I get all that. But there was an hour that passed between the time that he slapped Chris Rock and the time that he won the Academy Award. Why wasn't he escorted out? Anybody else would have been.
Absolutely. And that was one of my next concerns, too. Why wasn't he escorted out as a result of an assault?
And that's what it was. And by the way, the police department did go to Chris Rock and ask him if he wanted to file charges, and Chris Rock declined.
Yes, I did see that this morning. You know, Chris is a stand-up guy, and he's a hell of a comedian, if you ask me. I don't think it was out of poor choice to do that, any one of them. But if Chris had any type of knowledge prior to that, he should have got that.
Does anybody come out?
Was it public knowledge that she had this? Because I didn't know Jada had hair falling out as a result of it.
I don't think that it was generally public knowledge. She had talked about it in the past, but it wasn't a huge story that everybody would have known. And Chris says he didn't. Hey, here's the thing, though, Ted, that I brought up the other day. Don Rickles, Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller, Bob Hope, Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Jay Leno, they all are comedians, and they all have made fun of politicians. I mean, they used to call Bill Clinton Tubby. They called George W. Bush dumb. Ronald Reagan was forgetful. When you're in the public domain, this happens sometimes. And the joke was not that vicious. I don't think Chris was making fun of her illness. G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane was a good movie. It was portrayed by Demi Moore. That's the highest class act you could have in Hollywood.
Right, so why did this make
angered Will Smith to do such a...
Yeah, why?
An embarrassment. I think Will thinks he's can get away with anything to do that.
Well, it's interesting.
Apparently, he's not that big of a celebrity in my heart. You know, I can think of others.
Well, we're getting a message from
one... He did make a phenomenal action by winning over Denzel.
He absolutely did. I do want to let you know that one of our listeners just sent me a message, Mary out there listening. Mary, I'm so glad you're out there listening this morning. Now, she's got some information that we don't have about this. Is apparently he was asked to leave, but he refused. Will Smith.
Wow. So that means they felt intimidated enough not to pursue it right at that moment because...
They probably thought they'd get smacked.
Yeah, well, exactly. That something, a big old drama would have entailed. And at this point, Will didn't care if the cameras were rolling or not to walk up there and slap Chris Rock.
Now, does this hurt or help anybody's career? Chris Rock is already back on the comedy tour where he was booked. Will Smith, is doing. Are there winners and losers in this?
I bet he'll talk a lot of, come up with a lot of jokes about Will. And probably won't go any further than that. you know, I thought Jada had overdone her plastic surgery enough to make her look like Saul.
Now see, Ted, if you get close to Will Smith, he's gonna lay out.
I seen a a picture of her, man, and my God, I was appalled that she would go through that much of reconstructive surgery.
You know something, this just popped in my head, Ted. Back when you first became an internet sensation, Vicki Lawrence, legendary comedian from and I don't know if people know this.
Mama's
Family, Carol Burnett Show. She did a video. Now, I don't know that she mentioned you by name, but basically she's dressed as the mama character, and she's on the side of the road talking about how she can't get work and how you're getting all this attention and fame. And it's
not having a kitchen to cook macaroni and cheese, let alone represent the company.
Right, right. And now, Vicki Lawrence is a comedian. And I think she's trying. She's dressed as the mama character. She's trying to get attention. She's trying to be funny. Now, if you were in front of Vicki Lawrence, I mean, what would you have said to her?
I would have said, "Ma'am, I've done nothing for you to be, ridiculed like that. But if you think you got a lot of laughs, more power to you. You are a comedian."
Well, see, that's the question. When you are in the public domain, as you are nationally, as Jada Pinkett Smith is, do you just have to take it sometimes?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And not here. If I went up and said something, and I can think of two or three things that I could say, which on a comedic level, that I don't have no full knowledge of their pre-health condition, medical condition, but... like I just told you, that looks horrible for her to do that to her face, Jada. Speaking of, I would talk about so you ladies out there, because you look around, there's a lot of people, a lot of women out there wearing eyelashes that are probably 4 feet from their face. Have you seen any of them yet?
It's a whole different look for people as of late.
Long eyelashes that look like a bird just flew into their eye.
Now, Ted,
and they think that's beautiful. They said, I don't know who could have ever told any, within certain length, women have wore eyelashes as old as the earth. But now this phenomenal fad, should I say, is just getting out of hand. I've seen a lady, literally a few ladies, with eyelashes that were way out. My God, it would have to impair your vision at some point. Whether it's up, down, to the side, you're peripheral, all of that. It looks terrible. And there would be somebody, and there's a couple actresses out there, the Kardashians and a few others. I think I would go ahead and bash one of them. I'm like, who could have told them that that was pretty?
Ted, a lot of talk has been made about this. Before we move on to the next topic here, because these were two African-American black gentlemen, that this somehow is representation or hurts African-Americans. Did you take any of that away from it as an African-American?
No. None whatsoever. I would have liked to have seen what Tom Cruise would have did or something if he made the same remark. Like, Jada, you look lovely. That hair style will get you... your next audition into, what if went out and smacked him? Or would they have removed him when they asked him to leave?
See, I don't know if anybody else would have behaved in that way, because I'm thinking Denzel Washington. I can't see Denzel Washington doing that. I can't see Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks doing that.
I can see Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon and Conan. Conan doing something like that if the writers wrote them such thing.
That's true. So it's an interesting story, but I think it is indicative of the culture right now. And this is another thing. This is another topic I wanted to get into here. Because 2 weeks ago at the Beef Expo down in Columbus, Joe Blystone, who's running for governor, was there as an observer. We had Joe on the show last week. And Governor Mike DeWine happened to show up at this Beef Expo. And Joe Blystone approached Mike DeWine and said, and this is public in front of kids and adults and whatever, he walked up and said, "Why won't you debate me?" And Governor DeWine said, "People already know where I stand on the issues." Joe Blystone said something to the effect of, "I think that's cowardly," or "I think you're a coward." Governor Mike DeWine, the governor of our state, grabbed a hold of the shirt of Joe Blystone and said, "I'm going to kick your hindquarters." And he did not say hindquarters. He said the word. Now, the next day he was asked about this, and here was his quote. He said, "I'm not going into what I said," DeWine said, But what I said was in reference to me winning the race, and I expressed to him my confidence that I would defeat him in the race for governor. So he certainly didn't deny saying that. Now, is that becoming...
Put it in another language.
Is that something a governor of our state, who Republican, Democrat, Independent, Black, White, Purple, is this something a governor of our state should be doing?
Absolutely not. It's like the few governors that have been chastised in the past about, what was the governor of New Jersey's name again? I mean, the one that got in trouble for taking those bribes to keep traffic, giving...
Oh, Chris Christie.
Him, along with DeWine, is being very evasive, and the only way that he can strike back is to do something. He's very evasive and he's very on topics of during a debate. I think he needs to step down for many reasons. He's in the state of Ohio is in his pocket, let's just say.
Well,
I think DeWine's done an outstanding job at a few things, but he's not the one.
Should a gentleman who is in his 70s be grabbing a hold of a gentleman who is much younger, much bigger, and making these comments?
Not in his position, no. That's a very important position for a governor to put himself in. He could have that would have been his security team if lucky nobody didn't fire on him.
Well, the security team did pull Governor DeWine back. There is a video out there of this. Now, maybe Governor DeWine would not have done this if the security team had not been there to pull him back. But what has happened? We look at all this as a whole. We look at what Governor DeWine did. We look at what Will Smith did. These are people with position. These are people who are in public. But you know what? It doesn't seem to matter anymore. Why?
You're right, man.
What happened?
I don't. You know, if I was to put a spiritual twist on this whole thing, you know, we have a lot more to seek in towards the, you know, the ice cap, a ceiling up in the Antarctica, just fell into. There's a whole island, man, of ice just fell into the ocean, and these are the times, the last days. You know, I think we have yet to see. But these are the last months, man. Gas prices, everything is just going. It's not under administrations. The global warming, all of this is coming. Is going to come to pass. And the Christians would believe it's the second coming of Christ. You know, it's been prophesied.
Ted, we're coming up.
We're in the last times. We got governors going around talking about to kick your, you know what, your fanny, and then twist it like, I was doing that because I was talking about the vote. I'm going to beat him on election day. But last days, I'm having a good time. I'm looking at Bewitched as I speak to you. I love Elizabeth Montgomery. That's another topic. Hey, okay, well, let's wrap it up into the weather, right?
Yeah, we got to take a break here, Ted, but we do have some more current events. Would you be able to join us later on this morning sometime?
I sure will.
All right.
I sure will.
Ted Williams
will
be...
I'll see you next time.
Yeah, okay. Well, probably in the 10 o'clock hour.
Great.
Thanks,
I'll talk
Ted.
To you then. Hey, Marion, I love you.
The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and he'll be back in the 10 o'clock hour to further discuss current events with us, as we do have another guest coming up here in about 60 seconds who we will want to get to. And this is in regard to a big local story here in Marion. It's always good to have Ted on just to comment on what's going on in the state. He is a resident of the state, a resident of Columbus, Ohio, has been to Marion on our behalf many times. It is April Fool's Day. Are you playing any jokes on people this morning? I know there's a lot of that going on today. It's good to be back on the air this morning with all the technical difficulties that we've had this past week. But you know what? We have fixed those technical difficulties as of yesterday. The spots are not rolling over each other anymore, and we are back up on the air. And again, the reason we were not on the air as well as we could have been on Wednesday was strictly an internet speed problem. They were working on the internet in the area, and as people know, our signal is relayed by wires and things of that nature. It is the internet age, and we just had to wait until that problem was resolved, which it was during the overnight, Wednesday into Thursday. But again, the programs that were not on the air on Wednesday, which would have been Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, and the Live at 5, the Show with No Name with Pastor Craig, Nate, and Terry, are on the webpage. You can listen to those, and they are in the repeats here on the station, so you can listen to those as they repeat. And I hope you enjoy that. Again, the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, coming up this morning at 9:15 with Adam Lepp running the board. And we thank both of them for doing that. And that will be a great show. All right, let's see if our next guest is ready to go here. Certainly lots to talk about with our next guest to get some things ironed out and kind of straightened out with what has been going on here in Marion in the last few days, let's say. But we want to get answers as we strive to be a news and information station. And that's what we try to do. We love to do the giveaways. We love to have fun. We love to do things of that nature. But at the bottom of all of that, we do want to be a news and information station and give you the best news and information that that is possible. And hopefully we do that more often than not. 33 degrees and cloudy on this April Fool's Day. A little bit of snow on the ground this morning when I woke up. I was kind of taken aback by that. I didn't realize that was going to happen last night. No accumulation of any type of snow, but there certainly was a little bit of the white stuff on the ground this morning. By the way, I did get up this morning, and for the first time in about a week and a half, I drove over to McDonald's and got some eggs and sausage and a large Diet Coke. By the way, I don't know if this is of interest to anybody. I was reading a story on dehydration the other day. And basically, there's been a mystery for years, or I guess maybe a wives' tale, that sodas dehydrate you. And apparently, according to some sources that I was looking at, that is not the case. Sodas do not dehydrate you. Anything with water will hydrate you. Now, water is always going to be the best to hydrate you. But sodas are not a dehydrator. So I don't know where that came from. I don't know where I don't want to call it a wives' tale yet, to be honest, because I'm not particularly sure if it is or not. But from what I was reading, it does not dehydrate you. So that is that at this particular point. 43 minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday. Should be joined by our next guest here momentarily. But I was interested in that. And also, I was reading up on Gatorade and electrolytes that are in Gatorade. And is this necessarily a good thing to drink for people to get hydration? You know, Gatorade, the jury seems to be out. Obviously, it does have some liquid content, so it will hydrate, but is it as good for you as water because it has electrolytes? People seem to be back and forth. Now, if you're playing sports, it seems to be a good thing, but outside of that, apparently not so much. But again, this is just what I'm reading, so we kind of all have to take it with that. All right, let's see if our next guest is ready to go here on WWGH Radio. I think we do have his number here. Let's see what happens. Again, 33 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. 45 minutes past the hour on this Getaway Friday. All right, let's go to our guest here for the final 15 minutes.
This particular hour, he is the superintendent of Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi. He has been with us before, and a lot of things have been going on in the Marion City School District in the last couple weeks, and we wanted to bring him on for some clarification, and he always is willing to do that, and we appreciate that. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Scott. Glad to be here. Sorry I'm a couple minutes late.
Hey, no problem at all. Let's jump into this. Obviously, okay. The last week has been a very interesting week in that of Marion City Schools. There was a board meeting, school board meeting. The topic of discipline came up, and it turned into a big news story covered by the Columbus News. Matter of fact, the Columbus News made a trip up here. Over to Taft Elementary, and excerpts from the board meeting were shown. And if people don't understand, here's basically what happened. There was a board meeting on discipline, and some teachers from, a lot of them from Taft Elementary, got up during this meeting and talked about their hair being pulled, hit against the wall, thrown, things being thrown at teachers. One teacher talked about being backhanded in the face, afraid to go into the school building. Dr. Arusi, what happened Monday? Were you aware that this was coming at this board meeting?
No, I wouldn't say I was aware. You know, aware of the you know, the process that the teachers from TAP used, you know, and what they. I mean, obviously, we've been aware of some of the issues that we've been. As far as, you know, the behaviors of some of our students. And again, you know, those teachers are facing a lot of issues, and it's been a traumatic, really a traumatic couple years for many of our staff members, as well as it's been very traumatic for our students. So you put those two issues together, and, you know, at some point, something's got to give. And so I definitely think we're at a critical point right now, and it's been building for really this year. I mean, last year, you know, we were in a hybrid model, and so only half of our students were in school at any one time. And so, you know, the managing of those behaviors and that crisis was, you know, much easier, if you will. Certainly, you know, not easy is probably not the word, but much more manageable at that time. So now with all the children back and some of the behaviors that we're seeing, I mean, we're talking about some second graders currently who really, if you think about it, haven't been in school all that much at all. They would have been kindergartners, you know, when we had to shut down the entire last quarter, almost the whole semester in school. So they've not really been, you know, in that school setting for most of their, you know, most of their elementary career at this point. And so, you know, it's taken quite a bit, you know, for some of our students to, you know, adapt to that setting. And so, you know, it just so happens that at Taft, you know, we've had some students that, you know, have experienced a lot of trauma, and, you know, we see those behaviors. And so, you know, one of the things is it's, you know, managing the behaviors and the students, but also being responsive to them, you know. And we refer to it as discipline, and we have to hold students accountable, but we also are responsible for their social emotional well-being. So, you know, trying to figure out what is the best solutions for those students has been a challenge for us.
Dr. Arusi, a lot of questions that we have had here, because I've been to Marion City School Board meetings. Mm-hmm. Most of the radio stations do not attend every board meeting. A lot of times the newspaper doesn't attend, and certainly the Columbus News Media is not typically attending these meetings. Mm-hmm. What happened with this particular meeting that it got out to people, was filmed, played on television, and the teachers obviously all came, and I believe they were even wearing similarly colored T-shirts. So for you not to be fully aware that this was going to happen, how does that all happen? How did that all become a big, I guess, news story on Monday?
Well, I think one of the things is that you know, the last few meetings, and we haven't, during the pandemic, we were live streaming our board meeting because of the pandemic, and we didn't, you know, we had a capacity issue due to the codes as far as how many people we could allow in. So, but we wanted, you know, the board actually wanted to continue some of that, you know, the availability of the board, the transparency of the board for those folks who couldn't make it there. So we actually recorded the entire board meetings. That was the first time that we recorded the board meeting and put it up on our website. And so, you know, the public may not have been aware of, you know, some of our meetings. And really, we've heard from a lot of our staff members and teachers probably over the last 6 months. But it's not been as public because, you know, we haven't necessarily live streamed the meetings. And I don't know that, I mean, they're obviously, you know, for the last couple months, we've been talking about discipline, and it's been, you know, in the paper multiple times as far as the Marion Star is concerned. And then, you know, so this meeting was recorded, which I think probably, it was obviously more public, and therefore the news had the ability to watch some of the film or watch the recording and then, you know, also show it on their news.
Want to talk a little bit. I ran down some of the allegations and that were made, and we don't want to say if these did or did not happen. Mm-hmm. They are allegations. We want the children to be happy. We want the teachers to be happy. But the question I've had during this, when these events happened, the backhanding to the face of the teacher, the afraid to go in the school building, did the teacher go to the principal? Did they go to the, were you aware that any of this was going on, specific events like this were happening, or were the principals before Monday night?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this was all had been documented.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the teachers, you know, really at this point, because of the trauma they're facing, I think they just, you know, they really want to be heard. They want people to understand what they're dealing with. And it's really a cry for help, I think, for families as well. I mean, I know that it seems like, you know, they are pointing the fingers at the district. And, you know, there's so many things we can do. We're talking about elementary, you know what I mean? And so typically an older kid who displays some of those behaviors, you know, with suspension and possibly expulsion and disciplinary issues, you know, we're not typically used to doing that to a second grader. So, and, you know, we're not even discussing, we're not permitted to discuss, you know, some of the health or mental health issues or even disabilities that some of our students have that might be displaying some of this behavior. And then there are limits according to what the law allows you to do. So, you know, a student with a disability, you know, if it's a manifestation of their disability and they're acting out in class, then, you know, the law really limits some of the discipline that you have because they do have a disability. And if you take away their right to a free and appropriate public education, then that, you know, that's, then the school district is held responsible for that, regardless of some of the behavior. So in some of those cases, the only other option is an alternative placement. And there's obviously, you know, a lot of steps and things like that, that have to be done. So we are required, and we should be required, to provide what's called the least restrictive environment for those kids before we make recommendations, you know, to take them elsewhere or out of that situation. So, you know, it can be frustrating, but I think what we should be most frustrated about, again, is why are our students, what has happened to many of our students in Marion that has caused them to exhibit these behaviors? Scott, we have, you know, we've had issues of poverty district. We've been, you know, riddled with drug addiction here. So, you know, but it's definitely been exacerbated over the last, from the pandemic. The thing that's most concerned about is why are these students acting the way they are?
And a task force is being assembled to deal with some of this. Of course, we want to be proactive, and we want to be okay at Marion City Schools. But just a few other points in the final 5 minutes here to discuss. You and I have talked about this. There were significant changes to the Marion City School Board in January. And the new school board seems to be a little more public in how they are dealing with issues at the school. Let's say that. There have been things published in the paper. There have been surveys sent out. Did this have anything to do with the timing of this is very strange. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Did this have anything to do with the new configuration of the school board?
Well, I don't necessarily believe that, you know, the teachers coming to the Board of Education and expressing their concerns is anything new. I mean, we've had this, I mean, at least since I've been in Marion, and I think, you know, all along, even what I'm told before, you know, I arrived in Marion, that, you know, teachers and community people, a lot of our teachers are community members too. So they're almost acting in both roles as a teacher, and the concern over the direction in the district as a community member, and some of them are even parents of students who come here. So I don't think that the teachers, you know, necessarily are expressing their concerns because we have new board members. I mean, you know, we definitely have two new board members who are, you know, interested in hearing from the staff. We had a meeting yesterday that a couple of school board members, we actually went to Taft Elementary where most of the teachers are from, and we sat down and had a great conversation about actionable items that we could put in place right now. And what does that look like in the future? And, you know, two board members were there because they wanted to hear directly from they wanted to be witness to the conversation so that they can, you know, talk to their constituents about what we're doing about some of these issues. So, you know, it's never, you know, board members have their role and, you know, they are responsive to their constituents, and that's what they should be doing. And we're, you know, they're new board members, and so we're figuring out what that relationship looks like between the administration and the board. What does it look like between the teachers and the board and the community and the board? What are their roles and responsibilities, and how do we handle situations? You know, it's still a partnership. You know, board members, when they hear things, when they're confronted with issues, you know, the best thing they can do is contact me and the administration, and then we work on those issues together.
Speaking of the configuration of the board, again, it was a story in the Marion Star, and I believe we did it on this station. Leslie Schneider, former president of the Marion City School Board, resigned a week prior to this meeting that happened on Monday. Mm-hmm. I think you were quoted in the Marion Star as saying you didn't expect this to happen. This was not something you expected. The timing of this is a little strange, that Leslie would resign a week prior to this meeting. And I'm not saying one has to do with the other, but what went on there? What were your discussions with Leslie and this happening a week after her resignation?
Yeah, I mean, I had some conversations, I think, the Friday before with Leslie. And we've always, you know, Leslie was a board president, and I really appreciate the relationship that she and I had in conversations. I mean, her and I met pretty much weekly about, you know, to make sure she was informed about what was happening in the school and those kinds of things, and helping, you know, decide, you know, how the board in direction, because she was president, you know, how to direct the board with some of the issues and things like that. So we had a really good relationship. You know, Leslie was very passionate about Marion City. Her children go to Marion City Schools. Her and her husband, both Marion City graduates. Obviously, her husband, the city councilman, they're very invested in the community. Leslie worked for the United Way. And so I think, you know, part of our conversation on Friday was that, you know, with the amount of times and things that we were doing, that it was really just cutting into her family life. And she didn't feel like, you know, that was the best thing for her family. And that's, you know, that's what Leslie's quote was, and that's what she expressed to me. And my, you know, the additional quote that I had was, I hope the next board member has as much passion for Marion City and is as committed as she was to this school district. So,
Dr. Arusti, final question here this morning. You know, when people look to come to areas and bring their businesses, they look at the school districts, and and this story, most people don't feel is a positive one.
We're listening
one. Now,
to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio,
the, way this
the
been
place to talk.
When we're doing this is great
Ohio,
pride and privilege
and
for the first time by
be,
Joy
because
Behar.
Of the internet,
you told a story on the
Tonight Show forever at this point.
Well, I feel like this is not an isolated issue in Marion City. It just happened to be a board meeting where it was made public. I feel like Marion City has kind of been staying out of some of the fray that existed throughout Ohio and really throughout the country. If you look at, go ahead and take a look at a bunch of school board meetings that have been recorded, you know, where people are expressing their political views and whether we should wear masks or not wear masks or what kind of curriculum is being presented and what's in the curriculum and what shouldn't be in the curriculum and all those kinds of things. I think that's part of where we're at. I bet next week there'll be another school district will have a school board meeting that will be somewhat contentious or considered to be that. And I think that's just part of the environment right now. I mean, for our concern, we're not concerned as much about that. You know, what we're concerned about is taking care of our kids and making sure that, you know, we are providing everything necessary so that our kids can be successful. And if that's what people are looking at, I think that's the thing that you need to take away is this district is committed to community to collaborate, work together, and solve the issue. We have issues in Marion. I don't think anybody would deny that. We have kids that come from 100% free and reduced lunch. We have a drug addiction problem here. We have all of those issues. It makes it more difficult for us, you know, with our children and making sure they're taken care of. But we are committed as a community to work together to solve these issues. If I were taking a look at that, that's what I would take away from this is that while these guys are really, they're transparent about it, they're really working on it.
Dr. Ron Arusi, Superintendent of the Marion City Schools. Dr. Arusi, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Until we talk again next time.
All right, Scott. Thank you. Have a good day. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. Dr. Ron Arusi, the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, coming up momentarily. Don't you dare.